At the start of the pandemic, we were all urged to stay at home and avoid crowds. But for homeless people, packed shelters made COVID transmission nearly unavoidable. And so many cities, using federal COVID money, housed people in vacant hotels to better protect them. This year, Washington, D.C. announced it would phase out its program, following others like it across the nation, leaving some unhoused people unsure where they will go next. William Brangham has that story.
At McPherson Square, once the largest homeless encampment in Washington, D.C., the 70 or so people living here are losing the closest thing they have to home.
Please collect your belongings and exit the park now.
Daniel Kingery lived here for 3 years. He says life outside was much better than inside city shelters.
I've heard people who go to the homeless shelters and they're more violent than the streets are.
These sweeps, which are occurring constantly in cities across the country, come at a particularly bad time because a successful homelessness program is now ending in D.C., following other programs like it around the country. During the pandemic, the city brought homeless people at particular risk from COVID because of pre-existing medical conditions to hotels like this one in Southwest D.C. People like Dean Elliott Clark, who is diabetic. D.C. housed more than 2,000 people like him in these hotels. Here, Clark gets health care, meals, and privacy.
You can't ask for no more. A person don't appreciate this, they don't appreciate nothing. And that's sad. That's sad. When it's cold outside, it's warm here.
Tiana Williams, who has an autoimmune disease, had been living on the streets and in the woods for over 8 years when caseworkers offered her a spot in the hotel.
I say, you know what? What's it gonna hurt? Let me go in this year.
Give it a try.
Yes, give it a try. That way I get to take a shower, get something to eat. I don't have to run out of my tent every morning. So when I got here, I did take a little break for myself. I started resting.
I've often said that housing is healthcare. I now say housing with the appropriate supports in place is healthcare. I'm good. How are you doing?
Dr. Catherine Crossland has treated residents in D.C.'s hotels since the program began. She says one of her patients saw a huge improvement in his health after just a week inside.
He was not short of breath. The swelling in his legs were gone. The ulcers were healed. He had all of his medications lined up on his dresser, and my medical intervention had not changed at all. What had changed was that he had this stable place to care for himself.
Another hotel resident, who asked we just call him Joe, found the same effect. With stable housing, he takes his psychiatric medicine regularly.
Yeah, it helps me keep my medication and any jobs that I hold down.
Having a steady place to stay.
Yes. Yeah.
How were you able to do that when you were living in a tent?
It was really hard, actually. I wasn't able to hold down very much.
This hotel is one of three remaining that's still housing people in Washington, D.C. But as federal funds disappear and the city phases out the program, the 400 or so people that still remain face an uncertain future. But city officials say the program, known as PEPV, was never intended to be a permanent solution.
Continuing PEPV as designed is ill-timed. It was launched during a global pandemic.
Dina Hassan is the director of policy and program support for D.C.'s Department of Human Services.
As we are phasing out the PEPV program, aligned with the phased out of pandemic efforts throughout the nation, we will make sure that every PEPV resident is linked to the services that they're eligible for. Some of that will include permanent housing, some of that will not.
According to D.C.'s Department of Human Services, as of the end of February, 60% of all PEPV residents have been matched to a housing subsidy that would cover the cost of their rent. DHS estimated around 50 people will have to return to shelters after PEPV closes.
I'm worried that they're going to phase it out without a plan B.
Amber Harding is the executive director at the Washington Legal Clinic for the Homeless.
Now that the federal money for these hotel programs is lapsing in May, it's going to be a real test for local governments as to how high of a political priority it is to actually provide a program they know is saving people's lives and is improving their health in many ways.
For Dr. Crossland, the idea of sending her patients back to shelters is the worst outcome.
seeing people together under one roof with end-stage renal disease, metastatic cancer undergoing chemotherapy, congestive heart failure, severe COPD requiring oxygen, these are folks who should never be in a shelter, let alone an outside encampment. And so it has really highlighted the need of a place for this vulnerable population to be while they're experiencing homelessness.
Researchers say this model offers a blueprint for temporary housing across the country, but a long-term solution should be the end goal. Some point to California's Project Home Key program, where local entities are provided grants to purchase vacant hotels and convert them into permanent housing for the homeless.
No shelter solution, be it either congregate or a non-congregate shelter, will be successful without having a housing exit strategy for the people that are staying there temporarily.
Sam Botko is a principal research associate at the Urban Institute.
The most important thing that a community can do is rehouse people as quickly as possible. And so what that means is making sure that every single shelter that you have is oriented towards helping to minimize the amount of time that people spend in it and getting them into what we call permanent housing.
While DC's program is ending, Hassan says the city will continue to improve housing options for its unhoused residents.
Do you worry that there might be some people, given that the federal money is now disappearing, that might fall through the cracks?
What we are committed to is making sure that the lessons we've learned from this crisis is implemented, is integrated into our long-standing services and supports for our residents.
After just over a year in the hotel, Tiana Williams secured a subsidized apartment with the help of her caseworker.
Yesterday, I was with my worker, and she took me to this apartment complex. I love it because it's up there by the zoo. I want to take my grandkids to the zoo. I signed my papers yesterday, so I'm waiting on my inspection, and then I'll be on to my life.
It's a happy ending for her, but one that not everyone will experience. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm William Brangham in Washington, D.C.